Amber Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you. Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, the IMF's July World Economic Outlook is more positive about global growth, but not for South Africa. And several important conclusions can be drawn from the tug of war over the budget this year. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about tomorrow afternoon's repo rate decision. In international business news, a USA billionaire welcomes US plans to impose a 50% tariff on copper imports. In investment news, Kumba Iron Ore has reported a 4% drop in revenue. And we talk to the head of ESG and impact at Sanlam Investments, Teboho Makabane, about Africa's blue economy.
A look now at local business news.
The International Monetary Fund's July World Economic Outlook is more positive about global growth, but not for South Africa. The IMF now expects world GDP to rise to 3% in 2025, up from April's 2.8% forecast. This is thanks to reduced trade tensions, lower tariffs, and improved financial conditions. However, South Africa's forecast remains at just 1% for this year, unchanged since April. Several important conclusions can be drawn from the tug of war over the budget this year. The first is that currently, neither the ANC nor the DA has any appetite to break the government of national unity, even when the temptation to walk away is great. Chris Hutting from the Center of Risk Analysis tells us more.
Possibly the most important lesson to be drawn, or conclusion to be drawn from the tug of war over the budget is that there is no longer one party that dominates budget making, and secondly, that the DA might have found a bit of a spot for itself in terms of what concessions to demand, what role it plays in the GNU. So as we see the GNU maturing, we could see now the kinds of positions that parties like the DA are better equipped to occupy versus beforehand. So for now, we have a budget, the government can operate. We will see if this continues again into later this year as well as next year, and we again will have another national budget.
And the governor of the Reserve Bank, Lesacha Khanyago, noted that there are several economic risks that lie ahead for South Africa. What are these risks, according to him?
South Africa has in the past enjoyed more favorable conditions for its exports, for trade, through things like commodity booms, etc. However, now one has a more hostile geopolitical environment with more uncertainties driven especially from the US and in the White House. This means that South Africa cannot count on those favorable geopolitical conditions anymore. This also exposes whether it is doing the right things in terms of domestic policy reform to deal with those global challenges.
We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, can you tell us more about tomorrow's repo rate decision?
The deadline for President Trump's 30% tariff is 1 August. Much has already been written and said about what it means for agricultural products, as well as vehicles and parts. But of course, there's also macroeconomic implications. If our export products become more expensive and the quantity demanded falls, there's also less demand for rands, which weakens the rand-dollar exchange rate. This creates uncertainty around the Monetary Policy Committee's repo rate decision. The committee members will also keep an eye on the Fed's decision before announcing their decision. Figures from the US suggest that they are likely to keep rates unchanged. Consumer prices still show little sign of being affected by the tariffs, but import prices are rising and purchasing managers' indices show that purchase prices are increasing. If those increases reach consumer prices, the Fed will be less likely to cut interest rates. If the Fed keeps its policy rate unchanged, it makes it a bit harder for our policy committee to cut the repo rate. Altogether, this uncertainty means that economists are unsure about what will be decided on Thursday.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
Billionaire mining entrepreneur Robert Friedland has welcomed the U.S. plans to impose a 50% tariff on copper imports from 1 August. The Ivanhoe Mines founder said that the move will revive America's copper industry and strengthen national security. The U.S. currently imports half its copper, mainly from Mexico, Chile, and Canada. Copper prices have already hit record highs as demand soars for green technology and electrification. Critics warn, however, that tariffs will fuel inflation, increase construction costs, and harm economic growth despite boosting domestic mining.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Kumba Iron Ore has reported a 4% drop in revenue to 34.5 billion rand for the 6 months to June as weaker global iron ore prices offset a 3% rise in sales volumes. Headline earnings per share were flat while the interim dividend fell 12% to 16 rand 60. According to Business Live, Kumba continues to face pressure from volatile markets, US tariffs on South African iron ore and Transnet's rail constraints. Before we say goodbye, with unemployment rates soaring, particularly among the youth, South Africa and much of Africa are facing an economic and social crisis. The green economy offers a catalytic path to address this crisis by aligning job creation with climate resilience, but one area remains largely untapped: Africa's blue economy. The head of ESG and impact at Sanlam Investments, Teboho Makabane, tells us more. Africa's blue economy has a massive job creation potential, with projections of supporting 57 million jobs by 2030. From Sanlam's perspective, what are the most promising sectors within the blue economy that could realistically drive sustainable employment for South Africa's youth?
So firstly, let me quickly say that the Department of Forestry and Fisheries and Environment estimate the blue economy to contribute about 4.5% to GDP. That's about 600,000 jobs. So with that, you're looking at small-scale fisheries. You're looking at fish farming, and that is farming fish in a much more controlled environment. You know, countries like Norway farm their salmon, which is a major export industry in Egypt. 80% of their fish is from fish farms to Latvia. So that's a very big opportunity. And then lastly, the protection and restoration of mangroves, seaweed, which are able to take in carbon dioxide. And from that, you can get carbon credits from the carbon that they take from the air. And that generates revenue.
Sanlam is actively exploring innovative financial solutions like parametric insurance and mangrove-based carbon credits to support the blue economy. Could you explain how these investments work and how they can simultaneously promote climate resilience and inclusive economic growth?
Yeah, so in Sanlam, we're looking to launch a Blue Frontier Fund. And a key focus for this one is small-scale farming. So from our research, we realized that small-scale farming struggle a lot with post-harvest loss. And that is, once they've done their fishing and they have their harvest for the day, once they've sold around the community, the rest of it dies off or they have no supply chains to sell it off. So that's key for us. We're looking to invest in opportunities that can address their supply chain for farmers so they can sell beyond the coastal regions into urban areas, restaurants, so they increase their income as well as not lose income from the post-harvest loss.
Given South Africa's nearly 60% youth unemployment rate and coastal provinces rich in blue assets, which strategic steps must public and private sectors take to unlock this potential and ensure the blue economy benefits are accessible to marginalized youth communities?
Yeah, so there's currently underinvestment in this particular blue economy, and that's the role that we as Sanlam are playing, and with our Blue Frontier Fund, but other investment houses and financial services can mobilize capital in that economy. So there is a requirement for that. Another one is regulation. The current regulation is very complex with permits that are fragmented. So to start a fish farm, you need permits from the Department of Forestry and Fisheries, Department of Water. So if it could just be put into one place and you have a one coin stop, make it easy, accessible for SMEs and entrepreneurs who want to start fish farms in the area. as well as some training for the youth. So the carbon credits, in order to get that, there has to be monitoring, data collection. So training in scientific methods of collecting data for carbon, validating it to ensure that you're able to get the carbon credits required.
And that was the head of ESG and impact at Sanlam Investments, Teboho Makabane. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.